winter is coming, and we need an additional $71 million for this year.
The United Nations says it needs that much for Afghanistan. It's Wednesday, December 16th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also coming your way, it took a while, but Joe Biden is now officially the U.S. president-elect. COVID vaccine is now going into U.S. arms. And New Zealand is defending its climate change policies. All of that and more on today's VOA Asia. The United Nations is calling for increased support for Afghanistan in response to increasing humanitarian needs due to COVID-19, conflict, and climate change. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA in Geneva.
Jens Laerke, a spokesman for the UN's Humanitarian Affairs Office, says the UN will need $1.3 billion to provide life-saving assistance for 16 million Afghans in the coming year.
That's double the number of people compared to 1 year ago. And that drastic increase is almost entirely due to COVID-19. However, for the time being, we only have half the money that we need to provide winter support. Winter is coming, and we need an additional $71 million for this year.
Afghanistan has suffered 40 years of brutal war that has killed millions and displaced millions more within the country and as refugees. Afghans have told UN officials they desperately hope that ongoing Afghanistan peace negotiations succeed. For peace to be credible, however, they say it must be inclusive of everyone in Afghanistan, especially women and girls. Besides the ravages inflicted by this war, Laerke says people in Afghanistan also have to contend with a worsening climate crisis and other natural disasters. He says life for most Afghans has been a matter of survival over the past four decades.
Their situation now has been further battered by the impact of the COVID-19 crisis. Household income and savings have disappeared and needs have increased dramatically. Almost half of children under five are now facing acute malnutrition and require treatment to save their lives.
Laerke says food and health care are primary needs. He notes aid agencies are staying and delivering relief to those in need, despite the many risks to their safety. So far this year, he says aid workers have provided humanitarian assistance to nearly 8 million people. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
You're listening to VOA Asia. Presidential electors across the United States voted in the Electoral College Monday. They confirmed that former Vice President Joe Biden defeated President Donald Trump in last month's election for a new four-year term as the American leader. White House Bureau Chief Steve Herman discussed the mostly procedural vote with VOA's Steve Miller.
Steve, there has not been any surprises. And in normal years, we really wouldn't even be talking about the Electoral College vote because it's almost always a formality. But what is happening, of course, in the context of the president saying that he did not lose the election and the many legal challenges that were filed unsuccessfully to stop the vote or have more recounts or actually overturn the results of the election, there is considerable focus today on this formalization of the vote through the Electoral College. Now, of course, the overall outcome was never in doubt. But in past years, there have been so-called faithless electors who have tried to switch their votes. We're not aware of that happening on a Monday. And the rules have been tightened up in recent years to really prevent that. So a bit more drama than usual because there's just so much attention on it. But the outcome inevitable, Joe Biden being elected the 46th president of the United States.
You mentioned drama. There's actually heightened security in several of the battleground states, Arizona, Georgia, Wisconsin. What can you tell us about what was going on in those states that prompted officials to go that extra mile to provide extra security for the electors?
Well, because of the heated rhetoric around the post-election period and what law enforcement authorities say are direct threats on some of the electors, there were moves to prevent any potential incidents. In Michigan, in fact, they're saying that there were clear threats of violence there, and measures were taken to ensure that this would be carried out as safely as possible. In some states, we've seen police escorting the electors into the buildings and other places. Where exactly in state buildings, legislatures, that the electors would be gathering was kept secret.
As you mentioned, the president has not conceded the election yet. He's still saying that he's going to fight the results. What do we know about the campaign's plans moving forward?
The president, in the recent 24 hours or so, has claimed that there were issues with the election which cast the results in doubt, including vote tallies in one county in Michigan that he, according to the president, show massive fraud. But we've just seen when this has actually gone to judges at the state level and then attempts made, of course, to bring this before the Supreme Court, the president and his allies have been repeatedly rebuffed.
VOA White House Bureau Chief Steve Herman talking with VOA's Steve Miller. We're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. Doses of the first federally approved coronavirus vaccine were administered to frontline healthcare workers in the United States Monday. That signals what health officials call a significant turn in the fight against the virus that has claimed more than 300,000 lives in the U.S. alone. VOA's Jesusa Maoni has more.
A turning point in the battle against COVID-19 as the first round of vaccinations in the United States begin. After witnessing the suffering and deaths of COVID-19 patients, ICU nurse Sandra Lindsay didn't hesitate to be the first in line.
I hope this marks the beginning to the end of a very painful time in our history.
The vaccines come at a critical time as the U.S. passes 300,000 COVID-19 related deaths. The pandemic continues to overwhelm hospitals and devastate the nation's economy. But with the first shipments of the recently approved Pfizer vaccine arriving at 636 sites across the U.S. and a second vaccine slated for FDA approval later this week, Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar says hope is on the way.
As we speak, vaccine is arriving at sites and in trucks and planes owned by UPS and FedEx to bring these life-saving products to the places where Americans will receive them. This weekend's shipment of vaccines is 2.9 million doses, enough to vaccinate 2.9 million people.
Starting off the mass immunization campaign are those considered at highest risk, such as healthcare workers and nursing home residents. Vaccinations for the general public are not expected to be available until late spring 2021, enough time, experts hope, to persuade the skeptics.
The existence of the vaccine alone does not end a pandemic. What you need is you need a population willing to accept the vaccine.
The pandemic's devastating reach goes well beyond the U.S. population, hence a need for a multilateral approach to ending it, says infectious disease expert Dr. Bill Petrie.
We're not going to control this unless we have all the countries in the world vaccinated. Otherwise, we're just going to have like continued outbreaks, continued problems.
Several countries, including the United Kingdom and Canada, also have authorized the Pfizer vaccine. And the World Health Organization reports there are more than 50 COVID-19 vaccines in human trials around the globe. Each vaccine, experts say, would be welcomed in the race to end this pandemic one needle at a time. Jesus Samaoni, VOA News, Washington.
Thank you for being with us on VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Maria Ressa, who heads a Philippine news website known for its tough scrutiny of President Rodrigo Duterte, refused to enter a plea on Tuesday in a second cyber libel case she faces.
The irony is I'm supposedly facing a charge of cyber libel, but the charges themselves are libelous to a working journalist, right? So this shouldn't be allowed. I will take this all the way to the end, and we will win it. Because it's ludicrous.
Ressa, Time Magazine's Person of the Year in 2018, has faced a series of lawsuits that she says amount to intimidation against her and other journalists in a country previously known for upholding press freedom. Ressa's counsel, Theodore Tay, said they had agreed to a conditional arraignment while waiting for a decision on a motion to quash the charges.
The arraignment was held. It was a conditional arraignment. Maria did not enter a plea, so pursuant to the rules, the court entered a plea of not guilty. So that's the status. We're waiting for the motion to quash to be resolved.
Ressa is facing several cases, including tax offenses and violation of foreign ownership rules in the media. She said the cases are a form of harassment due to her news site's critical reports on Duterte's bloody war on drugs, during which more than 5,900 suspected drug dealers and users have been killed in anti-narcotics operations. This is VOA Asia. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern defended her country's climate change policies, saying that comments by activist Greta Thunberg suggesting the country lacked ambition referred only to part of New Zealand's goals on climate change. Libby Hogan reports.
After climate activist Greta Thunberg took a swipe at New Zealand, suggesting the country's climate change policies lacked ambition, New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern defended her country's approach on Tuesday, although she admitted not seeing Greta's original tweet.
It's been described to me as a reference to our public service carbon neutral goal of 2025. And all I would, of course, give the context there that if that was the sum ambition of any government, then that would be worthy of criticism. It is not our sum ambition, and it is not the totality of our plans on climate change.
In a tweet Sunday, Thunberg said New Zealand's, quote, so-called climate emergency declaration was, of course, nothing unique to any nation. On Tuesday, Ardern walked the delicate line of standing firm with her country's pledge of promising a carbon-neutral government by 2025, whilst welcoming worthy criticism if they don't follow through with their goals. When pushed again to comment, she tapped down the snub of her country's pledge.
You know, I think it's only a good thing that there are people out there continuing to urge ambition and action.
Ardern declared a climate emergency earlier this month and has backed it with a fund of over $140 million to phase out coal-fired boilers in government buildings and to help ensure the public sector only buys electric or hybrid vehicles.
Correspondent Libby Hogan reporting. Millions of young Chinese toy lovers are behind the popularity of Pop Mart, a Beijing-based company that was due to list in Hong Kong after raising $676 million in an initial public offering that priced at the top of its range. It valued the decade-old firm at as much as $7 billion. Brian Wood has more.
Nearly 100 small figurines sit proudly stacked from floor-to-wall shelves of 28-year-old lawyer Wu Ge's bedroom. Some look like cherubs, others are Pokemon characters. Wu estimates that she spent close to $800 in the past 3 years buying these collectibles from the Chinese toy company Pop Mart.
When working overtime at night sometimes, I feel a bit better when I look at them. It relieves the pressure. This is the meaning for me personally.
Pop Mart is a Beijing-based company that has been around for 10 years. But just last year, its revenues tripled, according to its prospectus. The most popular item? A $9 mystery toy box that holds a single figurine, its identity unknown until the great reveal when a customer opens it in store or delivered. Its boxes have been a big hit with China's millennials. According to a report from online retailer and Alibaba-backed Tmall, Chinese consumers born after 1995 spend more on mystery toys than any other hobby, including e-sports.
That was Brian Wood reporting. Thanks for being with us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Do your best to stay safe and enjoy the day ahead.